Hello, and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm ready for some figgy pudding.
I don't know what that is.
How about sticky toffee pudding?
Okay, that's Jean Marie. Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are talking about household safety.
And when I think of household safety, I tend to think about very young people or, you know, babies and actually baby-proofing something.
I've heard of that.
And then in one's home, as well as older adults and, well, not really like adult-proofing or senior-proofing, but... You know, you get the idea.
Well, no matter what the age range happens to be in your household, there are always things that we can do to make our homes a safer place to live. And nowadays, work and learn as well. Universal and inclusive designs can make our homes safer and more functional for everyone. We're going to talk about a few modifications which may actually make your home safer. And here's a tip. You may even be able to get assistance and or funding for your home safety upgrades and improvements through some of your local social and senior programs, nonprofit organizations such as Habitat for Humanity or the International Red Cross and Crescent, maybe your local police and fire department, or even your utility companies and such.
Okay. All right. I'm wondering if not the Red Cross, Salvation Army. I wonder if they do anything.
But I know our local gas company will come out and inspect your dryer and furnace. And actually, there's programs here in Illinois. They will actually supply insulation.
We'll probably talk about that in
furnaces.
The future.
Okay.
Let's start from the entrance of the home.
Okay.
We'll like picture the home or the apartment or whatever, and we'll start at the entrance.
Okay.
Your entryway should be well lit at night, mm-hmm. clear of debris. If your entry has stairs, you should take extra caution. Stairs can be a trip and fall hazard for anyone and are especially dangerous for older adults. The slightest variation in a riser, which is the step's height, or the tread depth, which is how far your foot will go into the step, can greatly increase fall risks. Now, let me stop right there. If you have really big feet.
I thought you were stopping.
Okay.
Sorry.
If you have really large feet.
Okay.
Then the tread depth, you know, there's a standard tread depth.
There is a standard tread depth.
It may not work for really large footed people.
But you're accustomed to there are specific standards.
Right. So if you're kind of used to the specific standard and then you come across a stair that's not to standard, it may cause you to fall. There have been studies like the one by Mona Afifi, Belinda Park, and Mohammed El Hussein titled "An Integrated Approach for Older Adult Friendly Home Staircase Design." We'll have to put a link for that on our website, which goes into great detail on how stairway design can affect safety.
And as this particular research article is often incorrectly cited by others online, we will, like you said, include a direct link to it. And it's a compendium of specifics for stairways, because even like a 16th of an inch can cause someone to trip.
Of course, I'm saying that, but I'm not making a mark on it, so I'm not going to remember.
I have the article here to remind us.
Okay, good. Thank you.
So one other thing that I'd like to add, though, about the steps is it'd be great if you had a handrail, because depending, again, you mentioned like the size of your foot or what have you, but if you can securely grab a handrail, that's going to help secure you more. So
I think there's a law, at least architecturally, for if you have three or more stairs, you have to have a handrail.
Yeah, that's your local laws and codes vary.
Right.
But it does behoove you to have one.
Even with two stairs,
even with two, even actually flat walkways in areas that can be icy or snowy.
Right, we've got one. So yes, Ron, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, again, it's just having a handrail is a safety precaution. You don't have to be older, whatever. You just come over, you know, come off a surgery or something or whatever. It's just another safety feature. That's all.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure that it's strong, secure, and within hand's reach.
Right. It should be in the right place.
Yep.
Yeah. You don't want it down like by your ankles.
I was thinking if you have a very wide staircase, okay, you want to have a center rail as well.
Oh, yes. That mm-hmm. makes sense. Mm-hmm. Kim could have used that when she fell down the stairs at that theater.
She fell down the stairs at that theater because they were triangular steps, and those are the most likely to cause trips and falls.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, spiral staircases. Yes, it did.
Yeah.
And she was trying to make sure that I was safe, which was extremely heartbreaking that, yeah.
Well, all right, get back on the script. Mm-hmm. if you happen to live in an area that has cold winter, like we do, mm-hmm. you'll also want to make sure that your entry and walkways are free of ice and snow.
Right, right. And also, if you or someone in your household uses a wheelchair, you may want to have it professionally, a ramp professionally installed or a lift installed, but make sure that they do it by code.
Right, right.
Good point. Yes, you don't just ad lib on that because right. you're putting somebody's life in your hands. Whenever possible, forget about throw rugs. Forget about throw rugs.
Throw those rugs away.
Throw rugs can be a tripping hazard, and they should be avoided. And a throw rug is like a small little
area rug, right?
I call it a throw rug. Everybody calls it something different.
We're kind of in the same age range.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So some people call it area rugs. If you do have a runner at your entrance, make sure that it's secure. And it will not shift when you walk in. And keep in mind that the slightest change in the level of flooring underfoot may pose a tripping hazard.
On to the kitchen.
Okay. Are we going to go eat?
The kitchen, that's a place that I'm not very familiar with.
Oh.
I'm getting though.
Okay.
But seriously, in the kitchen, what we really mainly want to prevent are cuts and burns and fires and, again, slips and falls.
And actually also, I guess I should have added poisoning.
Oh, good point. Okay. Well, to prevent cuts, make sure that your knives are sharp. Now, this may sound counterintuitive, but... Jean took professional cooking classes at Le Cordon Bleu.
Yes.
And a dull knife may cause you to lose fingers because you're using more force when cutting and the blade may slip rather than cut whatever you're cutting.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll slide right into your hand. Also, use the right tool for the job. Don't use a knife as a can opener. Ron.
Have you been spying on me?
Uh-huh. Use a can opener to open a can. When using knives or other cutting implements, scissors, robo-coups, mandolins, use a good cutting technique and form. Another safety tip, don't throw sharp knives or other sharp objects mm-hmm. into soapy depths of a dishpan or throw axes at a wall. I've seen that.
That's not on here.
No, I know. But
keep the axes out of the kitchen.
Actually, can I mention one thing about knives? And this is something.
Yeah.
My forks and spoons and butter knives, mm-hmm. I'll put mm-hmm. straight up. When mm-hmm. I do like a steak
dishwasher?
Mm-hmm. In a dishwasher or after I wash them to dry,
yeah. mm-hmm.
the butter knives, I'll go straight up. But mm-hmm. if I'm doing like a steak knife, I put the point down because sometimes you put your arm over it or you scrape mm-hmm. by it. Mm-hmm. And again, you're not going to really hurt yourself with a butter
knife. I always put sharp points down.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just like my mother used to say, when you're walking with scissors, point down, same
right.
thing. I like to set my knives to the side of the sink and wash them one at a time.
Okay.
You'll want to store your knives safely, like you were saying. Right. If you need to store them like away from children or elderly that may have Alzheimer's or mm-hmm. have some type mm-hmm. of another impairment or anything like that, you may want to store them in a locked drawer or cupboard. To keep our cutting board from sliding around, we like to place a damp towel Ooh. Between the countertop and the cutting board to keep it from shifting when cutting. Also, you may want to swap out your glassware or use silicone sleeves on your glassware to prevent broken glass in the home.
Does that go around the outside so that if it cracks or breaks, it doesn't shatter all
right.
over?
Yes. They actually make them, too, for insulin bottles.
Yeah.
Because insulin is so expensive, so they make silicone sleeves that you can put on your insulin bottles.
Okay.
Yeah. And now to help prevent fires, keep cooktops, vent hoods, and ovens free of grease. You might hear about restaurant fires. That's often the culprit.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the grease can catch fire. We actually like
and don't put paper near your stove.
Well, yeah, I thought that was like a given.
Well, I'm
or draperies.
You know.
We like to toss the metal mesh filters for our cooktop vent into soapy water at least once a month because it's amazing how quickly grease can collect on those things. And it's
wow, just... I never thought about that.
Oh yeah, when we were in North Carolina renting a house, the first thing I did was have the whole house cleaned, and we looked up at the vent and it was caked
coated with grease. I mean, you couldn't even. No, it wasn't even usable.
Yeah, it's good to check
those. We threw those away.
Yeah.
We got new ones. Yeah.
We also have a small kitchen fire extinguisher. Mm-hmm. And if you do have fire in a pot or pan on the cooktop, you can usually smother the flame with the pot lid mm-hmm. or the pan lid rather than spraying it with a fire extinguisher that could actually spread the fire. Never leave anything cooking unattended. Never.
Never.
Never. And nowadays, there are actually devices that link your cooktop and your smoke alarm. So when the smoke alarm goes off, the electric or gas to your cooktop or range shuts off automatically. And there are also microwave ovens with preset time limits. Ours will only go up to 6 minutes. This way you don't accidentally turn on your microwave for, let's say, 90 minutes instead of 90 seconds like someone we know. And when it comes to smoke alarms in the kitchen, you may want to install a model that has a quick remote or Wi-Fi reset.
It sounds like some of the stuff you're talking about, it's art imitating life.
Yes.
Well, it's anecdotal. We've actually had...
Yeah.
He's pointing at me.
Oh, yeah. She wasn't the one, but yes.
Okay.
We've had house fires in our immediate family, and they're very scary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Jean. Now let's talk about burns. It's generally best to keep the kitchen clear. Pets, children, and even adults should keep the area around the oven, stove, or cooktop and the path to the sink, keep it clear. You don't want to burn anyone while removing a pot of pasta or anything from the cooktop to drain in the sink. And if possible, lock electric cooktops or mm-hmm. secure the knobs for a gas cooktop in households mm-hmm. where only certain members of the family can safely use it on their own.
Mm-hmm.
I just had an incident where a person with Alzheimer's turned the gas on and went mm-hmm. back to bed.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
We used to take the knobs off.
Yeah. And now we just lock our cooktop.
Make sure that you're cooking large volumes of food in small batches. That way it'll be easier to lift and will cool quicker. And if you're storing them for later, which also reduces the risk of food poisoning,
mm-hmm.
please use pot holders as needed, okay? Practice picking up and moving cold dishes, pots, and pans to get the feel.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Rather than just sticking your hand on there and saying, oh, that's hot.
Yeah.
Done that before, unfortunately. I actually left a metal spoon in a pot.
Oh, yeah.
So I learned.
Note to self, get Ron wooden spoons.
This was a while ago, and I've learned my lesson, but yes, indeed.
Okay.
And this next one may sound like an odd tip, but here it goes.
Okay.
The bent lip on a baking rack in the oven is a safety feature and should be at the back of the oven. What that does is it helps to prevent someone from pulling the oven rack all the way out accidentally. When you remove something from the oven, it's best to locate where you intend to place the hot item using pot holders and making sure the area around the oven is clear. Slowly pull out the oven rack, remove the item, and place it on a heat-proof surface. But you didn't think I knew that word.
Mm-hmm.
Then slide the rack back in, reaching into the oven to remove the item. I'm sorry, reaching into the oven to remove items can actually lead to forearms and other burns.
I've seen that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you do get a burn, treat it immediately and consult a healthcare professional if needed.
Good point. Things can get messy in the kitchen, at least my kitchen. Take the time to clean up spills, anything that you dropped on the floor especially. To avoid crush injuries in the kitchen, have your appliances secured with appliance straps to a wall stud. Pull down, roll out, or pop up kitchen shelving can help everyone reach needed items without standing on a ladder or bending over. Kitchen faucets with a lever handle and a clear color-coded temperature indicator can help you from burning yourself, right?
Sure.
Setting it to the wrong temperature.
Yep. And I think little Chef Cade has taught us all that everyone can help in the kitchen. It's a matter of finding the right task for every individual. And it's great to have everyone safely pitch in with meal prep, even if they do occasionally eat all of the butter. On to the bathroom.
Okay. Well, I'm sure we've all heard that the bathroom is the most dangerous room of the house.
Yep.
Well, let's see if we can lower our odds for getting hurt in the bathroom.
Okay, since there's water in the bathtub and the shower area, you should check to make sure that these areas have adequate drainage. You want to avoid water pooling and becoming a slip and fall hazard. Have grab bars, safety rails, and poles professionally installed, like we talked about with the railings, especially where extra stability is needed. And a lot of times this happens with older adults or people with disabilities, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Have them professionally installed. A sink basin, a towel rack, a shower door handle, or toilet paper holder is not a substitute for a grab bar. The grab bars need to be properly mounted and be able to bear one's weight. A shower chair or a seat can be helpful and improve bath time safety when used properly. You may want to have a seat both in the shower and one just outside the shower. This way, you can wash and dry yourself while still being seated. If you care for someone who needs help bathing, you need to stay with them. Never leave an infant, a young child, or anyone who requires assistance while bathing. Do not leave them alone in the bath. Back and foot scrubbers, a handheld long hose, shower head, a shower caddy to keep items within reach, a handheld long hose shower head.
Sorry. Apparently that's very important.
It is.
I forgot to mention a tub spout cushion. Temperature gauges keep bath water between 98 and 100 degrees Fahrenheit, that is. And other bath tools can also be helpful and potentially improve bath safety. They can help reach hard-to-reach spots as well. Another thing, make sure that the bathtubs and showers have a non-slip surface. That's, I think, probably huge for people out there. There are a number of products in the market that can improve traction and reduce the risk of falls in the bath or shower. And based on what I've read, I'd like to make a controversial suggestion. Please skip the water toys. In addition to potentially harboring bacteria, mold, viruses, fungus, et cetera, bath toys can also be a tripping hazard for people.
Sure.
As with elsewhere in the home, the bathroom should be well lit. Floor should be kept dry and clear of clutter or debris, and anything that's potentially dangerous, like cleaning chemicals, okay? Keep them out of sight of children, out of sight of everybody, so that, you know, you use them when you need them, but they're not there cluttering up the place. Any outlets, they should be GFCI or linked to a GFCI outlet. Toilet safety frames with grab bars and raised seats or overall toilet height may be good for some. When bearing down on the toilet, some people may get dizzy or even pass out. And if this is a concern, you may want to talk about improved safety when toileting with your healthcare provider. Also, maintaining proper ventilation in the bathroom also plays an important role in safety because moisture can facilitate mold and mildew growth, and that can be slippery.
And gross.
And gross is right. Use a contrasting color. That can also help so that, you know, people can see where there's changes. Bright contrasting colors can also improve bathroom safety for those with visual impairments or dementia. Rinse the shower pan and bathtub every time after bathing. That can help reduce soap residue and biofilm buildup, which, again, can be slippery and dangerous.
And gross.
Skip the bath oils and other products that can make the flooring slick. And if financially feasible and recommended by a health or safety advisor, you may want to think about installing a walk-in bathtub or shower with little, if any, threshold. Yeah, that'd be great if you can. Mm-hmm. And finally, you may want to remove sliding doors for bathtubs and showers. The raised lip, the track where the doors slide back and forth, the raised lip on the tub or the shower pan may pose a tripping hazard for people.
And on a more general note, there are many steps you can take to prevent household fires and improve your chances of surviving a household fire. Every home should have a working smoke detector, ideally hardwired with a battery backup. And if not, replace the battery twice a year and store 9-volt batteries in a separate container. 9-volt batteries stored in a junk drawer may actually ignite and cause a fire.
I never heard that.
Oh, yeah. No 9 volts in the junk drawer. Test detectors on a regular basis. We like to test them twice a year. And occasionally we have a chihuahua barking in the background. I'm very sorry about that. And make sure you have correctly placed in an adequate number of detectors. There's generally it's on the ceiling or on the wall, but make sure you check with your local code. And you want to have the adequate number for the size of your home. If you are unaware as to where to place the detectors or how many detectors you should have, contact your local fire department. And we've heard this many, many, many times before, especially from our friends in the fire department. If at all possible, skip the candles. They're an unneeded hazard. And keep pathways and stairways clear at all times. If a fire breaks out, you'll want to be able to exit your home quickly and safely. Mm-hmm. And if you or a family member sleeps above or below the first floor or ground level, make sure that they have a means of egress and a safe means by which to get to the ground level. And practice that as well. Bedrooms should have a window which is large enough for a firefighter wearing full gear to climb through. And you can check with your local fire department and building code for actual details as to what those measurements are. They might say that there's a standardized height and width that you have to meet, but it's not always the case that that's, if you have one with the standard height and the standard width, that that's large enough. I don't know if that makes sense, but check with them. And make sure everyone in your household knows how and when to use a fire extinguisher. Fire extinguishers should be properly located and inspected yearly and primarily at exit doors. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have to actually walk back into a fire to grab a fire extinguisher. And you can contact your local fire department to learn if they offer fire extinguisher training, as well as fire prevention classes and additional fire safety and prevention tips. If you've never used a fire extinguisher, it can be intimidating the first time you use it. So it's nice to actually know what that feels like. Make sure your electrical wiring is up to code as well. If possible, upgrade to ground fault circuit interrupters and arc fault circuit interrupter outlets. As Ron was talking about, they're very important. And that might help prevent electrical fires. Also, try not to overload your circuits and keep transformers, which are the little black boxes you'll see on a power cord for things like your laptop, printer, and other devices. Those should be kept cool. And the laptop should be kept cool. And
that's how Kim's fire started.
It was a transformer. Transformers used to be in the laptop and in the printer underneath. So they didn't have enough ventilation to stay cool.
Take it back.
No, I would still say keep your laptop cool. And don't leave it on a bedspread or a blanket or a sofa that doesn't allow for proper ventilation.
A lot of kids do that.
I know. It's dangerous. Right. Yeah. Never cover up that transformer box that needs to
breathe.
Well, it doesn't.
Pretend it needs to breathe.
Okay. I was going to say it doesn't physically breathe. It's kind of creepy. Once the electronics start breathing, we're all in trouble. Just saying.
Okay.
Here's one more fire prevention tip. Register all new electronic devices. So if there's ever a recall, you will hopefully be notified. And if you are purchasing used electronic devices, check online and see if there has been a recall.
Okay. Let me add one more thing. Okay. We're talking about the fires and all of this. I think one key thing, too, is for the family to have a fire evacuation plan.
Oh,
so make sure that everybody gets out of the house.
Right.
Absolutely.
And knows where to meet.
Exactly.
Yeah. And actually, we had an unfortunate family incident where someone's pets did not make it out, but luckily all the
but
people did.
But you can't train a cat.
I don't know if you can train a cat, but
you can't train a cat to come to eat.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, maybe to eat.
Well, we've trained our dogs, and if they hear a smoke alarm go off, be it in our house or on TV, they will immediately go to the door. Gotcha. So then we open the door and then we let them out. And we practice that as well.
Right. And that's the thing, not only to have one, but to practice it.
Right. Yeah. And also there's important things like being crawling out, you know, crawling, touching doors with the back of your hand, not the front of your hand.
Right.
Things of that nature you want to practice. And often fire departments will have a practice setup that you can walk through.
Right. I know that Kim mentioned when her basement would caught fire that she felt the heat
on her feet yes.
as she was walking across the kitchen floor.
Wow. And that's another example of smoke detectors. There was one working smoke detector. The rest were still in the package waiting to be installed because she had just moved in.
Gotcha. Okay. Was this in the new house?
No, this was years ago.
When, when the kids were little. Gotcha.
So on to the laundry room?
On to the laundry room.
I was kind of digging what we were just talking about. But yes, let's go on to the laundry room. Well, as with other areas in the home where water and electricity may come together, make sure your outlet and the laundry room are also the GFCI. And the fancy name escapes me right now, but I know.
Ground fault circuit interrupter.
That one. Check your lint trap and dryer exhaust system vent on a regular basis. And here's a tip, too, because a lot of times people will pull out the lint trap and get the lint out of there. But it's very narrow, and it's hard to get.
It might be somewhere in the pipe, right?
Yes.
In
the pipeline? Yeah. So, I mean, if you don't have the tool, try to get one or get with somebody who can come, because the cleaning the lint trap is very important, but there's still stuff that gathers underneath that.
Right.
And that can also.
And birds make nests on the outside.
Okay, you guys would read the script.
Okay, I'm sorry.
you can. We're going to talk about that in a second.
I didn't talk about birds.
Yeah.
But also, there are professional services that will come out and thoroughly clean it, and you could have that done twice a year.
Oh, I see. Read the script.
Oh, yeah, right here. I've actually seen birds nesting in a dryer vent on the side of someone's house. Wasn't mine, but I saw it.
It was Kim's. Kim has a lot of problems with stuff.
Well, also in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
And what we first noticed was that our clothes weren't getting dry. And we were like, why aren't they getting dry? And then we looked on the outside of the house, and there was actually lint just falling out of the exterior vent. And then we looked across the street, and there you had a huge bird nest in theirs.
So I know we're kind of making a little light of this, but I mean, in all seriousness, we want everybody to be aware of this. And also, just like all the other rooms, please keep the laundry floor areas dry and clear of debris, so that people don't fall.
And onto the bedroom.
Okay.
As with all the other rooms in the bed in the home, but the bedroom floor should be free of clear and clutter and debris. A nightlight, underbed light, or under nightstand lighting or lights with motion sensors can make walking to the bathroom or other areas safer at night. Dressers, nightstands, bookcases, televisions, etc., should be anchored to a stud in the wall. And cords from window coverings should always be secured and out of the reach of children. Keep toys and other items within reach or locked away. You don't want to have them up on a high shelf where somebody's going to be reaching for them. Beds, bed frames, and mattresses and box springs all come in a dizzying array of options. If you've ever walked into a mattress store, it's amazing. When sitting on the edge of the bed, your feet should be able to be squarely placed them on the floor, and your thighs should be 90 degrees.
So that bed that I got rid of, that I had to take a running leap to get in,
that was too tall? Yeah, but it was funny to watch.
So didn't you have a little trampoline?
No, I just kind of ran and jumped up.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if a bed is too high or too low, it may pose a greater risk of falls. Foam bumpers, concave mattresses, and similar devices may be recommended for individuals who roll out or fall out of bed. Check with your healthcare provider to find the safest option for you or your household. Or members of your household. And for those who need to make frequent trips to the bathroom, a portable commode may be the best option if you place that in the bedroom so they don't have to walk as far.
Right.
And there are other safety concerns, but we're going to kind of gloss over those.
Okay. Well, we could go on and on.
Right. Yeah. And although we can go on and on about household safety, I think we should call it a day. Any chemicals are kept out of the reach of those who may ingest them, because poisoning is another...
Well, no, we talked about poisoning already.
I know, but I just want to say that that's important thing to talk about.
All right. I want to thank everybody for listening, and I hope to God they're still listening.
Well, we kind of ran over the mill there.
But again, all kidding aside, I think, you know, we wanted to get pretty in-depth about this because it is very serious.
Right.
Again, thank you to everybody for listening. If you have a question or comment related to today's show, please contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard in this podcast.
Oh my God. Well, next week.